Okay, lots happening when it comes to district attorneys these days, and that's why I'm very interested and very eager to chat with the next guest. He is Michael Henry. Happens to be a candidate for the New York State Attorney General's post. He'll be on the Republican side of things. Nice enough to give us a couple of minutes here on a busy Thursday morning. Welcome. Great to have you, Michael. How are you?
Good, and thank you for having me.
It is fantastic. So much to talk with you about. You know, I was just talking about case in California, Michael, with this Sean Laval Smith, this 31-year-old, who was captured yesterday. I knew he would. You know, that's one thing California does well is they round them up after they let go. And a lot of guys are let go, you know, because they have the flimsy laws out there, and you know, all you have to do is bring up the Gascon name, as I say, and one will know what I'm talking about. But they got him in Pasadena, this poor girl who was murdered. But you know, that's just another prime example of where we are in this country, and you know, we need change. I'll tell you, we need a lot of change going on here, Michael. But all in all, a very tough case out in the West Coast, you know.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is, and we're seeing this in New York, too, where these prosecutors just apparently are more interested in criminals' rights over victims' rights. And my position is if you don't want to be a prosecutor and you want to advocate for criminals, then you need to go work on the defense side of things, because what they're doing is they're getting people killed. And I think everyone often forgets these people have loved ones. These people were going about their lives the right way. You know, we've seen just in the last couple of weeks here, you know, the 61-year-old man, Yao Pan Ma in New York, he died after 8 months in a coma being a victim of an anti-Asian hate crime. We've seen Crystal Nieves, 19-year-old girl, working in a Burger King on a Saturday night at 1 a.m. in the morning, not running the streets. She's not out partying. She's working in a Burger King to be murdered over $100. We just saw this past weekend, Michelle Goh, Asian-American woman, pushed onto the subway, killed by an oncoming train. And what we're seeing is these liberal politicians and progressive politicians and prosecutors, they're doubling down on these policies. You know, I think there's not only been a backlash. Look, you're lucky in Long Island because you were able to get two Republicans in who I think are both going to be good district attorneys. But at the state level, these laws still handicap the judges on what they're able to do as far as imposing bail. And look, they're only looking to go further with this. Now they want to build on bail reform with this elder reform, which is coming forward, where basically if you're 55 years of age or been in jail for 15 years, you're going to be eligible for a parole hearing, meaning the Son of Sam, Colin Ferguson, Joel Rifkin, all these people are going to start getting parole hearings. And after families made impact statements thinking these people are going away for life, we're going to start tearing open these wounds for these family members who lost their loved ones. It's a really troubling thing, what's going on. And it is literally killing people. And that's the sad part about this.
You know, no one's talking about it either. You know, you look at a press conference on the national stage yesterday, not one question. I saw it. Not one question regarding crime across this country. Unbelievable. But, you know, the problem is, and it's so hard for me to fathom regarding these soft laws on bail. I can't figure out. How do you not want to give judges the discretion to consider public safety, no matter what the charges? I can't figure that one out. I can't figure out regarding disclosure, okay? Reversing the presumption on rapid disclosure. I'm talking about victim and witness information. Why aren't we looking at this properly? Why aren't we looking at discovery as far as slashing the rest of it to a level at least that crime labs and prosecutors can manage in a timely manner? These are three things I've been talking about for years.
Right.
And it's not as right. You know, it's not a little tweak here and a little tweak there. You know, it's a tear down and rebuild, okay? And that's the biggest I'm telling you, it baffles the mind. It baffles the mind how it is not recognized. It's hard for me to fathom.
Right.
And we're still talking about this years later, Mike.
Yeah, and I think the other thing you watch is when these people go on TV and they say, well, you know, our jails have less people than they had before, so it's working. Your jails have less people than before because you've created so many laws in the last 5 years or so that basically make it impossible to keep anybody in jail unless they commit a murder. And the problem, especially in New York State, for example, the local prosecutors are the daily crime fighters. Like, they're the ones on the streets fighting. They're the ones fighting the prosecuting the crimes at a local level. And like you mentioned, it's not only bail reform, it's discovery reform. It's wanting to take qualified immunity away from police officers. I mean, we're in a situation right now where no good person is going to want to become a police officer, so we're going to be scraping the bottom of the barrel, and all the good prosecutors are leaving district attorney's offices because they can't try a case. I know defense attorneys that literally tell me they've structured a deal, you know, for a client, you're going to have to serve 3 years in jail, this is the deal. And then they go in and the guy winds up walking free because they say, well, the law says that this is the, you know, we'd be giving him too much time. And this is craziness. And you're right. And I think that on our side, the Republican side, we have to take these fights on. And I think that what we've seen from the other side is they are willing to fight at any means necessary and do whatever they can to win and keep pushing their agenda. And I think we have to be the people that are going to advocate for crime victims. We have to be the people that are going to advocate for people like these victims that have been in these stores, the woman in Los Angeles. That's happening regularly in New York now too. And we have to be able to take these fights on, talk about these issues like you said, and not be afraid. Look, you can't just say let's amend bail reform. You have to repeal it because all you're going to do is have a bad law with amendments that's convoluted, and we need to be willing to take strong positions on this because these are winning issues. And I see it as I campaign. Upstate, downstate, Long Island, Staten Island, the Asian community, the Latino community, the Russian-Ukrainian community in South Brooklyn, everybody is on our side, and there's a lot more people that feel like you than they are feel like Alvin Bragg. And this is what I'm seeing as I'm out there, and that's why I'm taking on this fight.
Well, he's the next poster boy we're going to talk about. And, you know, here's the problem. The problem is that safety is a risk here. It's at the top of the charts. Now, we saw some change, you mentioned, with two new DAs here on Long Island with Ann Donnelly and Ray Tierney. They're going to do the job very confident. Very, very confident as far as getting it done. But, you know, it's good. And you know what really bothers me also is the fact that this should be a bipartisan deal, okay? Both sides of the fence. Let's come together, and let's recognize what's out there. That's what gets me the most. It's that people politicize this, and that's not the case. You know, it's like the vaccines and the COVID. It's not about politicizing. It's about coming together. This is a no-brainer. Okay, that's the biggest thing I find offensive about this. And I talk to all of the politicians, all sides of the aisle. Okay, now the architects, I will say, the Gennarises out there, Mike, the Mike Gennarises and the Kaminskys, you know, they kind of shy away from them. Chuck Levine, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk, they know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. They sweep it under the rug. They don't want to answer the questions, which to me is the most insulting thing of any. It is offensive not to recognize this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, like you mentioned Ann Donnelly and Ray Tierney. You know, Ann Donnelly's a career prosecutor. Her family, her sister's also in law enforcement. Ray Tierney, if you spend 5 minutes with him, he's a pretty apolitical guy. He's just a law enforcement person. And he's someone that likes to lock up the bad guys. He's not someone that's out there talking and spewing political stuff. And I think that's the contrast of what we've offered. You just had two district attorneys elected that are just law and order people. And then you contrast that with the Alvin Braggs, or the Eric Gonzalez in Kings County, or even Letitia James at the state level. These people are using their office for politics. They're using it to push political agendas. And I think that's why we've seen people that are, like you said, this is a bipartisan issue. This isn't a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is an issue of restoring what's right and wrong in society. And I think that's why we've had success with people that are looking to do the right thing and not looking to be political advocates for political policies. And that's why I think you were able to get such big wins out there in Long Island. And I'm hoping that this is going to be the pathway moving forward, because the people of the state need people like the Ray Tierneys of the world and the Ann Donnellys of the world in these positions, and not the Alvin Braggs and Darcell Clarks of the world. And that's how we start to also change this too. People that are serious about taking on crime and people that care about victims. And I know one thing, for example, about Ray Tierney, he's always, when I've seen him, when I saw him on the campaign trail, he always talked about the victims. What the Democrats and the left are doing is they're always talking about the criminals' rights. And that's the big difference. And I think that's something that we really have to focus on. Families are being shattered and destroyed, and it's unacceptable.
Yes, and we're talking with a guy who hopes to change things for the state of New York. His name is Michael Henry, running for Attorney General. And, you know, a guy like Bragg, right? You know, to me, already, and what, we're 20 days in already? And look what he has accomplished, which is nothing. Except, you know, when you state the playbook of what you're not prosecuting, you know, already that sends a flag in my book. But, you know, he's going to be with the other all-stars, you know, the Krasners of Philadelphia, the Foxes of Chicago, the Chisholms of Milwaukee. How about that Daryl Brooks Waukesha parade and everything else? Guy who should have been incarcerated instead of what he did during that parade. You know, the Gascones of the world, you know, the Boudins of the world, San Fran. Listen, Alvin Bragg has made no friends, as far as I'm concerned, the first 3 weeks of 2022. I mean, give me a break with this elder parole deal. Are you kidding me? You know, you're going to grant parole hearings based on age to individuals like, what, David Berkowitz? Remember him, folks? Let us know him. Ripken?
Colin Ferguson?
How about the Long Island Railroad murderer? Are you kidding me? I mean, the only seniors he cares about are the crooks, the criminals, the thugs. As far as what Alvin Bragg is. Mike Henry, you started me off here. But, you know, the elder parole thing, that's over the line. That's over the line now. Is he kidding me?
And you know something? He announced that on the day that they shut down the nursing home investigation in Manhattan. So you had families that were so upset that case was closed into what happened with the COVID nursing home crisis, and he had the audacity and the balls get up there in a press conference the same day and start advocating for that bill instead of talking about why Cy Vance closed that prior investigation. He's a troubled person. I don't want to, you know, say anything totally out of line here, but there's something wrong with him that this man does not understand that he is dangerous. And like you said, the Krasners, the Gascones, this is a trend because a lot of people have been asleep at the wheel, and these people all come from the same network, and they all got elected, just like some of these secretaries of states and local level school boards and people where these progressives had a plan in place, and they were very good at winning elections at the local level. And that's why you often hear all politics is local. And so this man, like you said, to push these policies, this elder parole is the dumbest thing. But you know what? Everybody was quiet, including my opponent, Letitia James, when the parole board was letting out cop killers, when they were letting out sex offenders, when they were letting out people that raped women and killed them in front of their children. I mean, what kind of society do we want to live in at this point?
Do you remember the Herman Bell incident, the cop killer from 1971?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, we have gone mad in our society. It's unbelievable. And especially you got a guy like Bragg who's saying, you know what? I'm going to downgrade a little bit here. You know what? Armed robbery. You know what? We'll go soft here. We'll go to petty larceny. Okay, that's a good way to take a stance, right? Making it public. Get ready, folks. More of the violence to come as far as robbery. Can you imagine that? And then he cites the playbook. I'm not gonna prosecute turnstile jumping, prostitution, marijuana. Listen, he went on and on and on. I mean, come on. What an imitation that is. What an imitation that is.
He also doesn't want anyone, prosecutors in his office, going for sentences over 20 years, no matter, regardless of the crime, and no more seeking sentences of life without parole. That's crazy. That is crazy. That means if someone kills a child, if someone's a serial killer, I mean, his mindset is so twisted on this. He look, I know Representative Zeldin and other Republicans said if they became governor, they'd remove him, and some people didn't like that. In my estimation, I would back that because nobody's looking to remove him because he's a Democrat. They're looking to remove this man because he's dangerous. And he's getting people killed. And I often hear people on that side, you know, well, we want to take immunity away from people that the gun manufacturers, and we want to take immunity away from these people. What about the politicians that are advocating for violent people to be released back onto the streets and getting innocent people killed? Why is there no repercussions to what they're doing? And this is a problem. And if there's a man in place that is that dangerous and is derelict in his duty as the Manhattan District Attorney, I would support his removal because I think that's how dangerous he is. And he's not the only one. He's just the one that literally is the most open about it and the one that clearly just is really bad at spinning it. The one thing he doesn't do is spin it well at all, and he's completely shown himself to be in over his head.
Well, you know, again, you know, if you're acting like a legal aid attorney here, I mean, let's face it.
Right.
And if you don't want to do the job, get out, please. And, you know, that's the thing. To me, this is at the top of the agenda. It's when it comes to the electoral season. It has to be, okay? You saw change on November 2nd. And I think you're going to see a lot of changes come November the 8th of this year, you see. So I do believe people are very aware. And right now, it's unacceptable. It is absolutely unacceptable. And you even look at the new mayor, Eric Adams. You know, who backtrack a little bit. You know, subways, oh, they're safe. The other day, they're not safe. Okay, you recognize that. I'm glad you recognize that. Because, you know, he saw a couple of crack addicts there. He saw the homeless and everything else floating around, as always. In essence, I hope he does something about it. You know, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Let's see how he acts.
The subway is basically turned into a Motel 6 for the homeless, the mentally disturbed, and drug abusers. And anyone that tells you that otherwise is a liar. Eric Adams carries a weapon, apparently. He has a security detail. And for him to act like the subway is not out of control is being so disingenuous. He was elected with a pro-law enforcement mandate. And for him to go around saying that when everybody knows it's not true. Everybody knows that's not true, that the subway's safe right now. That he should fix that, and I think he's going to keep walking that back because I think he's realized that he said something he shouldn't have said.
Question, Mike Henry, with us a couple of minutes. He's running for the state attorney general's post in New York. Give me a little background on Michael Henry here.
Sure.
Aspiration to get into this business goes back how long, my friend?
Not long. Maybe a year. I'll tell you, for me, I have my own commercial litigation practice. I've also done some asylum work on the side for people that were persecuted based on practicing Christianity and Catholicism. And, you know, for me, prior to being an attorney, I was in the mortgage industry. I had management experience, you know, like I said, currently on my own practice. I saw the one party control of the state, but more so the devastating response and failure, in my opinion, to respond to the COVID nursing home crisis. And I felt frustrated, and I've seen a pathway that there is to victory. And to me, that pathway to win in New York State runs through downstate. Governor Cuomo's gone. He to me, overperformed in certain areas like Staten Island, Nassau County. I think that Long Island and Staten Island, they're going to come back to the Republican side. I think, obviously, upstate, there's a lot of enthusiasm. And then there has to be a way to get votes in the outer boroughs. And what I've seen is, you know, the Asian community, the Latino community, Russian-Ukrainian communities, Albanian-Americans, there's a lot of people, especially white working class and in immigrant communities, that are starting to gravitate towards our party. And for me, I saw a pathway, and I also seen there's a lot of big things that need to be done. And if I served 4 years as AG and never served in public office again, I'd be perfectly happy. I'd go right back into the private sector. But I think that there's a lot of things that need to be done. Number one, there's 15,000 families that lost loved ones. I actually think it's more based on my travels throughout the state. And I think that even though we can't bring their loved ones back to life, we owe them closure. I think that there's a serious crime issue. And I also think corruption, which are the three C's I focus on. Then at the local level, there's issues like education. You know, we've seen, for example, in the Asian American community, a lot of discrimination towards their children, the educational system. There's the local issues of the opioid crisis. There, you go upstate, there's the Second Amendment issues. And I think there's a lot of issues that we need to put a spotlight on. We need people that are going to make tough decisions. We need people that are going to advocate to get other Republicans elected to the state Senate so we could repeal bail reform and also be able to handle the pushback that's going to come from the media and the Democrats. So for me, this was something where basically a year ago, you know, I had done media and stuff in the past, but I was trying to get the message out as to what was going on with the nursing home crisis, and everyone thought Andrew Cuomo was going to be the next president. So I started getting more and more into this, more and more active. You know, I started basically traveling to different parts of the state, and campaigning is a mixed bag because you meet a lot of good people, but you meet a lot of good people dealing with a lot of tough issues. You know, I lost a relative in a nursing home. I'm losing my small business because of regulation. I lost a child to opioids. You know, I've had mothers tell me they've had a child murdered by somebody that was released from, because of cashless bail. So for me, I just wanted to take up this fight. I never had aspirations for political office or higher office. And I just been going in, bringing the level of, you know, competency, efficiency, and integrity back to the office because, you know, the office for the last 20 years or so has been used for one of two reasons. The first one, to become the next governor, which Tish James clearly failed to do. And the second one is to continue to weaponize the office against their political opponents, which Letitia James is going to continue to do. And I'm ready for this fight. And that's really why I'm doing it, because I think this is this monumental, and I think there's a pathway for us. And I think that we need people that are going to take tough decisions and be able to make tough decisions regardless of what the backlash is.
Yeah, people are fed up. That's what it's all about. You felt compelled to throw your hat into this ring, and many applaud you for that. I applaud you for that because, you know, we need change. We need change. It's the only way to do it, the only way to fix this is to get these people the hell out of office, really. If you're not going to recognize safety, you're not going to recognize innocent lives. There's a guy like George Gascon, recognize a life that was lost, and to allow individuals like Sean Laval Smith to walk the streets. I mean, come on. We got to figure this thing out. Mike, we're going to be following your trek. How's that? And we'll have you back again. We look forward to the next time.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for, you know, bringing up a lot of these important issues that need to be addressed.